You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio in sunny California today. It's actually a beautiful, cool day. I am Janie Beauclair and I am here with host Tony St. Tone.
Yes, and it's much cooler today than it has been. We've been going through a serious heat wave out here.
Yeah, 97 to 103 average over the last few days.
Yeah.
Sweating
it's
our booties
hot,
off.
Hot. And people say, well, you're from Florida. I love the fact when someone says, but it's a dry heat.
It's still
100. If you put a blow dryer on 100, that's what it feels like. It's still hot. Or an oven. Oven's still 100 degrees. Put your head in it. I don't care if there's humidity or not. It's still hot.
It's been a tough week for people working out in California. And I know there's some wacky weather going on in the U.S. cross country. You know, there's snowstorms that just happened in Colorado. Oh, my God. Their towns got buried there.
Yeah.
And then there's tornadoes and all kinds of craziness happening in the southeast. And it's like, wow.
Global warming, people.
We're happy to only have the heat. And, yes, global warming. We are Humanitarian Radio. And our purpose and focus on this station is to talk about really great things that are going on and how we can help our sick little world.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sick little
and
world.
The sick little people that are in it.
Nice. So let's talk about yesterday's event, because yesterday's event was really, really cool.
Yeah,
we also
have a really special guest today, too, and we'll talk about that. That's very exciting.
Yeah, we'll talk about that afterwards. So yesterday's event was really cool. We did a show for Nancy Cartwright, as some of you know, and Nancy is the voice of Bart Simpson, and she has an organization called Happy House. Happy House is something that she has put together probably about 10 years now that she's had it, because we had her on our radio show.
Yeah.
We interviewed her. And what she does is she goes out to different school districts and different areas where children don't have good education, almost like common sense, like how to take care of your body, how to brush your teeth.
How to be nice to other people.
How to be nice to others, and just simple things that you think you would learn from your parents or from your environment, that it's not right to kill someone.
Yeah, that's a major part of the book that she gives out, which blows me away that you have to tell people that.
Well, again, but if you are raised in a war-torn environment, or if you're raised in an environment where gunshots are fired every day and people die every day at the age of 16
when your
to
parents
20,
are in jail or drug rehab or living on the street.
Then
they
think that's just normal life. Doesn't everyone do that?
Right. Right.
So she has a book called
The Way to Happiness.
Way to Happiness. And what she does is she puts this book out there. They distribute it to all these different areas. And a lot of these kids, they get to read the book and they graduate in a sense of understanding better how not to to react that way to their environment.
I heard a really cool statistic yesterday while we were at the fundraiser. The fundraiser raises the money in order to pay for the books to be printed. One of the guys on Nancy's team, his name's Marty, was telling me that last year they gave X amount of books to one community somewhere in the valley here, not far from L.A., and that within 3 months, the police department noted that there was a 40% crime rate drop suddenly.
Wow.
And they are 100% crediting Nancy and her organization's book passing out in that particular community for that 40% drop.
That is awesome.
That's shocking.
That shows you the power of the media. And if we were to take the time to broadcast more positive type programming and more positive type media out there, and not just focus on all the horrible things that are going on in the world, I think people would start to take notice and say, hey, we don't have to necessarily live like this.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people don't feel that way in their head and in their heart, but there's a lot of followers out there that are looking for leaders, and the leaders are doing bad things, you're going to follow that trail.
And you're unfortunately a victim of your environment. So if your environment is like, hey, I look up to my older brother, and my older brother's in a gang, well, then I'm going to be in a gang.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the
That's
dad was in a gang and the cousin was in a gang.
And
so
your 15 brothers are all in jail.
Right.
That's what you strive to do.
Yeah. I'm really glad to see that there's organizations out there like Nancy's, and that's why we go out there every year to support it. And the band performed again, and we had a great, great show. We really, really enjoyed performing.
Yeah, they had several hundred people that came for the event. They said it was the largest turnout they've ever had.
Yep.
which is excellent.
So they raise a lot of money.
And just so you know, Nancy started this out very small time. She didn't use her name, her status, and all that to actually get started. A group of her and her friends, they basically got together and said, I think there's something we can do here. And they put it together, not even as Nancy's event. Nancy jumped on board to this project just as a citizen wanting to help out a community.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is anybody can do this. You don't have to be a celebrity in order to make a significant change like that.
Yeah, and I also want to say that if you get an opportunity and you're listening to this program, you can go back and listen to Nancy's actual interview that we did and possibly get a hold of some of her books and distribute them in an area that you feel is in need of this type
some,
of a program.
Some help, yep.
Yeah, I think because it really does make a significant difference. And the book is very simple to read. It's not
it's
a long, thick book.
At a fourth grader level.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's something that just can bring an education to kids that really need it. Again, all it is bringing an awareness that there's something different and something better. And I think sometimes that's what some people need. Well, mm-hmm. they don't know any better. They just go, well, this is just the way it is. And you're like, no, there's something different.
There is another way, yeah.
There's something on the other side of the track that you just never saw.
Yeah.
You've only lived on this side of the track. So I'm really excited that she puts
on
this thing.
And we had a darn good time.
Yeah.
We always have a blast there. It's
love
such a great time. We spend Easter holiday with Nancy and her family, too. And they're just great human beings that are just really out to help not only the world be a better place, but the people in it to have a better life. And it's fun hanging around with a massive group of those types of people.
Yeah, because they're all philanthropists. They're all actually doing something, and they're actually taking it to the next level. They're using their celebrity status to actually
do
some really good things.
Yeah.
And any way that we can help that, I think, is always great. We love to use our talents to better the world.
Bring awareness.
Or better people out there.
Yeah, and that, you know, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, our special guest today is going to talk a lot about that type of thing, exactly, and it's a surprise guest, but you guys all know him very well. So we'll take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with our surprise guest of the day.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Cause I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmation, wrapped in pop rock song.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician. Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience.
I'm a man at the money.
At www.fainttone.com.
Your life, reinvent your life. Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes.
We choose to end.
For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Hey, so we're back, and we're doing a cool segment today. And we're doing this segment because there's a lot of articles being written about this guy lately and over the last year. And I think it's time that the world gets a good understanding of exactly what's going on in this camp. So I am bringing to you our guest of the day, Mr. Tony St. Tone of the band St. Tone.
That's me.
Welcome, Tony.
Thank you.
Now, you know, we do this station, all, you know, we host it, and we give little tidbits about what we do. The band performed here and performed there. But we've never let the listeners know exactly what the band's about, how you formed the band, your history and your talent as a musician. They know you as a radio host. I know you more as a musician, and I think it's time that we share what you're all about. So I have a specific line of questioning that I've put together so that they
awesome.
Can get a full bird's eye view. And I want to start back to age 14, 15.
Okay. What was I doing back in age 14, 15? I was playing baseball.
You were playing baseball.
Playing baseball, yeah.
And you had glasses, and you had a silly little grin, and you were really thin.
Yeah. You nailed it. That's me.
I have a certain photo in mind on the wall of your parents' house.
Yeah. Anyway, I started playing guitar when I was 14. I fell in love with it and never stopped playing. I think it was actually back March 17th of this year that I celebrated 30 years since my very first gig.
How cool is that? Yeah. Who gets to say that? Just that was, a select handful in this world even get to say that.
Well, it's actually really interesting because I always knew, I think even from that first performance that I did, that I was going to be doing this. So I already felt like, wow, I need to document this. And so that's exactly what I did. I took a photograph of it, and it was March 17th, 1984, and it was at Danny Masantonio's house in his mom's basement. So it was a lot of fun.
So you did the basement gig, and obviously you were inspired to keep going. You must have had a great response from that particular show that inspired you boys to, you know, do someone else's basement party.
Honestly, you know, we did seven songs. I posted the actual original song list online. We did like seven songs, and six of them were originals, and one was a cover of Say Goodbye to Hollywood by Billy Joel. And I remember someone said, oh, they really like that show or something like that, or they like that song. And I said to my buddy, what song did they like? And they said, they like Say Goodbye to Hollywood. I went, oh.
They didn't like your originals.
Well, I was just like, that was their favorite song. That was their favorite song. And again, you know, we the thing is that we put the show together, and the fact that it was our very first show and we played six originals and one cover.
That's pretty cool.
Really, yeah. Already put me in that mindset of going, no, you're going to be writing songs. You're not going to be playing other people's songs.
Yeah.
And that just obviously sent me on the journey of like, yeah, I'm going to write my own songs and not necessarily play other people's. And then eventually I started learning other people's songs because you learn from others what to do right and what to do wrong. And I studied songwriting in different books to say, here's a verse, chorus, bridge, and and how
structure.
To structure a song and arrangement.
Now, did you take guitar lessons or did you teach yourself?
I took guitar lessons.
Learn?
Yeah, I mean, I originally started with my sister because she wanted to learn how to play and she didn't want to go alone. And so I went. And
so you started out as a musician by bailing your sister out.
Yeah, you know what the funniest thing is? I bailed her out in a sense of going with her. And I was playing trumpet at the time. And at that time, my trumpet wasn't working. I'd only played for about 3 months. And I didn't want to play it. And I says, oh, guitar seems really cool. And I said to my dad, I want to play guitar. And he says, oh, no, I'm already renting a trumpet for you. If you want to play guitar, you buy it.
Uh-oh.
And so I
see a multitude of jobs coming on.
I said, okay. And I went and I sold Christmas cards, I guess. That's what kids did back then is you would sell these Christmas cards. And there was a paper route that we had started. So I was doing that. And I raised enough money. I paid $35 for a guitar, and I bought it from a friend of mine,
nice.
Matt Kane. It was his
Thank
brother's
you, Matt.
Guitar. Thanks, Matt.
You should see where he is now.
Yep, and actually, I still have the guitar. And it was supposed to be a nylon string guitar, and I put metal strings on it. And the action on it is really horrible, meaning that it's really hard to play. But I stuck to it, and I just kept playing it and playing it. And let me tell you, my brother and sister hated me. My sister was studying to be a nurse, and she would be like, I'm trying to study to learn my thing for this test, and all I keep hearing is your stupid song, I'm like a wave that rolls in the sea. Because I would just play this song over and over again, because I was writing songs, and I just wanted to keep playing. And
yeah,
their inspiration to me was, shut up, you suck.
But that actually, you know, a lot of people get that when they're learning something new. A lot of people get that from their people around them.
I got to tell you, you know,
friends,
for me,
family, I mean, nobody's immune to it. If your friends aren't going, oh, come on, really, you're going to stay home and play the guitar? We're all going out here, we're all doing that. Or your family going, really, we got to hear that song again?
Yeah, I mean, I for some reason, really took to the guitar so much that I wanted to play every day, and my fingers were killing me. Because what happens is you have to build calluses on your fingertips, and as you press down on the strings, it pushes deep into the skin, into the bone, and it really hurts. And I remember a lot of times where I wanted to put duct tape on my fingers so I could still play.
Wow.
And it was really weird. I couldn't play. I remember also at one point I broke and fractured my pinky on my left hand playing softball. And I had this metal splint on it.
That probably worked well, like a slide guitar.
No, unfortunately, I kept trying to play guitar and it kept scraping the finish off of the neck.
Ah.
I still wanted to play because I didn't want to wait like 6 weeks and not play. So I still played without the pinky.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah. So
Okay, so you're 14, you start a band, you're in a garage, you know, basically practicing in basements and whatever, and you're doing parties, and then how do you advance to the next level?
Well, I set goals for myself. I was always very goal-oriented, and I kept saying, wow, here we are playing these little parties and stuff, and that was fun, and I said, how cool would it be to play at a bar? And that was like the big thing. If we could play at a bar, that would be really cool.
At what age?
Oh, God. I was in my 20s, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to be like 21, and we wanted to play a bar, and somehow we got a gig. And it's so funny because I have photographs of all this. I have it so well documented. And everyone used to say that about me. They're like, you're the guy who documented everything between videos and photographs. And so we played a bar, and we're like, wow, now we're playing a bar. So now you have that under your belt, and you're like, okay, we're playing covers, we're getting paid, and we're doing some originals.
Right.
And at that point, we were saying, let's go into the studio. Let's record something.
Right, yeah.
Now, I had recorded stuff in the past, but never in a studio. You know, we would...
Yeah, so that was a big step.
Just do, like, little four-track things. So we wanted to go to a studio, and we knew someone who had a high-end studio, like the Eagles had just recorded there.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, Vanilla Ice, who was just out, had just done some tracks there. So we talked to the guy, and he looked at us and goes, no, you guys aren't ready.
You guys suck.
He goes, you guys just aren't ready. He goes,
thankfully he was honest with you.
He was very honest with me. He goes, you guys aren't ready for me. He goes, but I'm going to put you with a friend of mine. And he put us with a friend of his who had a recording studio in his basement, but knew how to get really good tracks. And that was in 1989, and so we put out our first cassette.
And what was that called?
That was called Nothing to Prove, and the name of the band was Conspiracy. And that band had that cassette, and we were like, you know, like, wow, we finally got
a
cassette.
That band had a cassette.
Yes. It was 1989, people.
I'm sorry, I just had to highlight that.
There were no CDs back then. I know. Was there TV? Yeah, there was TV. So our next goal... Obviously, it was, you know, because, again, I was very goal-oriented, so it's like, okay, play a bar. Now record a CD or a cassette, record something.
Right.
And then the next thing was like, ooh, how cool would it be to play and open up for a band?
Mm-hmm. Right,
and
okay.
And so we booked a gig, and we got to open up for the Hooters.
Wow.
And that was at a college, Quinnipiac College, and that was huge for us because we're backstage... By the way, let me just tell you this quick little story. We're backstage, and the lead singer from the Hooters, and they were big at the time, you know. They had All You Zombies and We Dance and all those songs out.
Oh, right, right.
And the lead singer, I walked right into him, and he spilled coffee all over himself. And I felt like such an ass. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm so sorry. He's like looking at me like, oh, man.
Punk.
I'm sorry. And I told the band, they're like, are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't know. I just ran into him. I didn't mean to hit him.
Oh, what a drag.
Yeah. But they turned off all the lights, place was sold out, and I remember they took flashlights and they led us onto the stage and everyone's screaming and we played and it was like the coolest experience ever. I mean, you know, that
Excellent.
Was the coolest thing and people thought we were from New York and here we were in Connecticut at the time and they didn't know who we were and,
yeah.
you know, and it was just awesome.
Cool. And, so then how did you get from there to entertaining troops around the world for the U.S. government?
Well, you just keep going forward. You keep moving forward, and you keep setting new goals. And for me, you know, at that time, that was our first cassette, and we had done the opening act, and so we wanted to do more of them. And, God, I probably opened up for 30 national acts since then,
mm-hmm.
Since the first one, opening up for Foreigner, Foghat, you know.
All the popular guys.
All the bands that you can imagine back then, and... but the coolest thing is that we saw an opportunity again. There was a booking agent saying that he was looking for bands to go overseas and entertain U.S. troops around the world. And said, we wanted to do that. So we auditioned, and we made the cut. And all of a sudden, they said, okay, you guys are going to go on tour. And we went on tour for 2 months, literally 2 months. They threw us on a plane, the five of us, and...
This was the first time you're talking
first
about.
First time that we did it.
You've done several of these world tours.
Yeah, this was in 1996. We went to Italy, Greece, Spain, and Turkey. And so Italy, we spent 3 weeks there, and then we spent like 2 weeks
which
in
is really
Greece.
Interesting because you don't expect that to be a USO tour and entertaining the troops. You don't expect to be going to those countries.
Yeah, but you but that's the thing is we're stationed, I think, in 120 countries. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Places that U.S. Army has facilities.
The ones that they show on TV, the Bob Hope and all the old-time ones, are always in like the worst of areas. So
right.
Your brain automatically goes, oh, they went and did a tour. Oh, they went to those areas. Now, I know that you did actually go to some of those rough areas. Why don't you express how that was and the emotions and how that all flowed for you mentally and where that brought you?
Well, the coolest thing is when you go to, like, our first stop was Turkey. And in Turkey, there's not a lot going on. So the troops were so enthusiastic to see an American rock band show up because they only get entertainment once a month, if that. And when they have their downtime in a place like the Middle East, there's no place to really go.
Mm-hmm.
You go to an open-air market, and that's your entertainment. Now, if you're stationed in Italy, you can go to Rome, you can go to Venice,
right,
you can go wherever.
You can bop around.
You can bop around. There's a lot of things to see. And it's a different vibe. There's a different country. So the appreciation level varies from where you are. So the harsher the conditions and the harsher the area, mm-hmm. the more they appreciate you. That being said, we went on to do two more tours where we went and did the Middle Eastern tour where we did Kuwait and Saudi Arabia and Bahrain and places like that. And we did this one show in a place, Kuwait, and it was 600 troops in the middle of nowhere. It was called Desert City, Tent City, I'm sorry.
Oh, I remember seeing that on CNN.
Yeah, Tent
okay.
City, where they just set up these tents, 600 troops. They put us on a flatbed with a generator. And guys are losing their mind. You would have thought Van Halen showed up. It was just insane. I mean, people were stage diving. It was the first time I ever did a stage dive. It's the funniest thing. We're actually on stage. I'm going to give you this scenario. We're on stage. There's 600 troops. And we're playing. And this guy jumps up on stage, grabs me by the back of the neck, headbutts me, and goes, woo-hoo! And then just jumps off the stage. And I was just like, what the hell was that, dude?
First
you know,
of all,
I
you just got
like,
headbutt.
I just got headbutted. The guy was so into it. And then he just jumped off stage.
And that was actually an act of love.
That was an act of love, yes. That was like him showing his appreciation. So I shake it off. We're playing the next song. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the song, one of my guitar player takes his guitar off and just jumps off stage. And I'm like, what the hell just happened?
So he was surfing on people, too.
Yeah, he just jumped. And then the next guitar player jumped. And then I'm like,
only one on the stage.
Well, no, I'm on stage still. So then I went, oh, I'm going to jump. And the next thing, with the drummer jumped, and then our bass player jumped.
And there's
so
no music,
there's
but
no
the whole
music
band
anymore.
Being
yeah,
passed
we're just
around
all
and
just got jumped off the stage. And that was awesome. But they appreciated us so much there.
Yeah.
There was a guy who was sitting in his tent. He came up to me after the show, and he goes, man, he goes, today's my one-year anniversary. He goes, I was sitting in my tent with a fake bottle of wine because I was feeling really bad about myself and feeling real depressed, and my buddy kept saying, there's a band here tonight. Come out and see it. And I kept going, no, I don't want to see anybody. I'm just, like, you know, down and out.
Sad.
And alcohol is illegal there, so that's why he had a fake bottle of wine. But he goes, man, I came out and saw you guys, and he goes, I can't tell you how much you changed how I felt. And he goes, I'm so happy that I came to see you guys play. And just that, when we were getting those type of responses, that was worth all
everything.
Of it. To me, I went, oh my God, this is definitely my calling. When I can get that kind of response and I can change someone's emotions and feelings, I mean,
totally.
That was so worth it.
And I have to say, on that worth it vein, when you do these USO tours, you don't get paid diddly.
No. They give you a per diem. So it's not for the money.
You don't do it for the money. You have to be doing it for a greater reason because if you did it for the money alone, you'd stay home.
You'd stay home, yeah. But you're doing it, again, you're getting an opportunity to see the world.
Right,
they're
right.
paying for everything. So, right. you know, you're considered volunteering your time for service.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you a per diem for meals and for travel, but you're it doesn't cost you anything, you know what I'm saying? You'll come home with some money in your pocket because they pay for everything, but also it's the opportunity to, A, see the world, but, B, having those types of reactions, that's where it really, really helps, is being able to touch people in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the appreciation. When you go to the Middle East, man, those guys are in desperate need of entertainment. When you go to Italy or Greece or Japan or Korea, those guys, they appreciate it,
It's not the same way.
But it's not the same. I mean, they appreciate seeing an American band, because if they try to see a musical band in Korea, it's not going to sound like an American rock band.
Right.
So they appreciate that a lot.
Right.
But it's not as much appreciation when they're stuck in the middle of a desert. I mean,
totally.
I remember we were out there, and we had a test putting our gas mask on. And I'm like, what's this for? And like, well, if a rocket gets launched, you'll have approximately 8 minutes to put your gas mask on. I'm like, what?
Rocket.
And I remember there was another time when we were in Kuwait. They're like, okay, put this on. And I'm like, what's this? It's a bulletproof vest. I'm like, what's this for? Well, we're going to be driving through an area that's a little hostile, so you need to wear this. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is like the real deal.
Yeah, that's reality check.
That you're in a place that people get shot. So those are the kind of things that make you go like, okay, I'm definitely not in a safe environment, but I still want to be here because obviously all these other guys are here. So you're doing it for a reason.
Yeah, and you did quite a few of those tours, and I definitely applaud you for that. A lot of people don't get the opportunity to do things like that, but also don't take the opportunity to do that. And the fact that you are a humanitarian giver and in the mindset that was the perfect setting for you.
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you. We had a bass player when we got the Middle Eastern tour, and our bass player says, I don't want to go there. And we were like, well, what do you mean? Like, I had already done the other tours. And he goes, I don't want to go to the Middle East. He goes, why do I want to go there? And I go, dude, I'm telling you, man, you should go.
Yeah.
And he said, no, I'm not going. And so we had to get a fill-in bass player. And the bass player filled in. We did our 2 months, came back, and then we were about to do another tour. And we were going to Japan and Korea and all those places, the Pacific tour. And he joined us on that tour. And I just thought it was really interesting that he wanted to pick and choose, because he was like, I don't want to go to the Middle East. Why would I want to go there? And I'm like, that's where they needed you the most.
Exactly, brother. Exactly.
And, you know, that being said, when we do our shows in different jails, LA County jails, men and women's jails, those are the places that they need you the most. As far as the message that I'm putting out, but not necessarily just the message, for me, it's the music and the way we can touch people. That's where you feel the most appreciation, because it's in those torn areas that no one wants to go that they need you the most.
And let's talk about that for just a minute. There have been quite a few magazines covering stories on you over the last year. And they're covering stories on you because you've put together this really cool show called The Rise Up Show. But some of the magazines are Lifestyles Magazine, Rock This Magazine, Music That Pays. They're music articles that are talking about the new style of indie artist for 2013-2014. And they're highlighting you as one of their significant indie artists worth watching. So what is the show that you called The Rise Up Experience that is different from your traditional or typical band music performances that are going on now that's catching the attention of all these guys that are saying, hey, look at this guy. He is forging a new trail in something completely different, and we applaud him. So tell us about it.
I think for me what it is the songs that I'm writing. Again, I've about 10 years ago, I started going down a spiritual path of reading different books and just bringing new knowledge into myself. I was always very motivated. Like I said earlier, I've always been goal-oriented. And so I listened to motivational tapes of Tony Robbins and Earl Nightingale and Zig Ziglar. And about 10 years ago, I started putting it into my music, these different messages that I knew. And let's say positive affirmations. And so as I started writing these songs, I started noticing that there's a collection of songs that all had this positive vibe to it. If it's best case scenario, I ain't giving up. And I started looking at my body of work, because I have 15 CDs out, and I said, wow, there's actually a little thread here, or theme, if you will. And I said, how cool would it be if I took all these songs and put them together in a show? And that's what I did. And as I started doing that, people started coming up to me saying, wow, man, I was really listening to the lyric, and you're singing some really cool things here that's not your typical let's go to the club or I love you, baby.
Boom, chicka, boom, chicka, boom.
Yeah, so and I thought, okay, that's really interesting. And that's what made me start playing different places like the jails and like these fundraisers. Perfect example, we did the fundraiser yesterday at Nancy's, and we had people approaching us going, I really, really was entertained by what you were singing about.
Right.
And what each song did. And what I love doing is I love writing in a variety of different styles. So the Rise Up Experience is a positive pop rock concert.
Okay.
And what it does is every song has a different musical theme to it. If it's pop, rock, R&B, rap, hard rock, reggae, there's different themes for everyone, some country, some acoustic stuff. And before each song, I'll give a little tidbit or a little story about what the song's about.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is breaking all the rules that were meant to be broken, I'll say things that we've been able to overcome different obstacles in our lives. If it's learning to fly or landing on the moon, now we're landing on Mars, and we're breaking rules that we've put upon ourselves. And that's what I try to inspire people to do, and that's what this song is about. And then we play the song. But what we're doing now is we're taking it a step further. Since it's the Rise Up Experience, we're bringing in video, and we're bringing in dancers. So it's now an experience. The show takes you to different places. So each song has its own theme and brings you into a different realm, which really pushes the theme of the song. And I think what's happening is the audiences that we're touching or getting exposed to are really getting it, because they're going, wow, this wasn't just a song. This is a song with a message that I'm in alignment with, or I agree with.
A message of substance that they can actually use.
That they can use, you know. And I think there's a lot of great songs, but the power of words and music are incredible. And if you can get those two to combine a positive message, if I can get you to leave and go, I'm a magnet for money, and you're singing it, well, that's a positive affirmation now that you're singing,
mm-hmm.
and you're going around the house singing, I'm a magnet for money. And I've had friends of mine that tell me that. They're like, man, I play your song Magnet for Money every day because I just want to sing that, and I want to bring that to myself. And I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So sometimes I really try to put the song in a way where the...
It's going to be helpful.
Well, and where someone's singing it, they're singing it that I'm the king of me.
Right.
As opposed to you're the king of you.
It's yeah, because like, no, if I'm singing you're the king of you, then I'm saying that you are the king of you. It's got
right.
nothing to do with me.
Right. So I like to try to take it from the first-person perspective where they're actually singing it out loud and they're actually bringing that power to themselves.
One of the things I like, too, about the Rise Up Experience is that you have put together a CD with all the songs on it,
mm-hmm.
and you have a lyric book. And so you give out a CD lyric book combo that brings people, they get to go home with the music that they just heard, but they also have the lyrics there so they can reinforce the thoughts that you have in there that apply to them that can help them to get to different stages in their own personal growth.
I think the lyric book is really huge, and the reason why is because instantly they get to read the messages.
Mm-hmm.
And just, again, another example from yesterday. Yesterday we had given a CD, we sold some CDs in between one of our breaks.
Right.
And someone had the lyric book. And a lady came up to me at the end of the show. She goes, hi, I want to really thank you for your performance and entertaining us today. She goes, but also I was reading through your lyric book that my friend bought a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really blown away. I kept going like, look at these words. And so she instantly got it. And
yeah.
She goes, there's something different about you guys. And I said, yeah, she goes, you guys aren't just playing regular music. And what I love is doing, slipping in positive messages within a pop rock groove.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, you like the beat, you like the melody, you're dancing, you're singing along. And then you're like, wait a minute, this actually is pretty cool. This is something positive, as opposed to, you know, sometimes you start singing lyrics and you don't even know what you're singing.
Exactly.
You know? So,
or you're singing things that are just way out there in left field.
Right, where
but
you
like the melody.
Heard the word and just went, that's what I've been singing. It's like, yeah, listen to the lyric you've been singing. So again, I'm saying use the power of words and music.
So why don't we play one of your songs from the Rise Up Experience and let people get a feel for what the show is like. And I know that you have the lyrics for your songs all on your website, sainttone.com. SAINTTONE. So if you want to hop online and sing along, feel free. What song
yeah.
are we going to play, Tony?
We're going to do Magnet for Money since we just talked
oh, well,
about it quite
go.
A bit. And I just used this song the other day. I had a friend of mine that was saying something, and I says, I'm going to send you a song lyric and a song that I want you to sing around the house. He was complaining about that he didn't have enough cash. And I says, well, you know what? Here's a positive affirmation for you. So I sent him the song lyrics, and I sent him the song.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, 2 days later, he called me. I was like, hey, man, I got some really good news. And I said, what? Have you been singing my song? And he's like, oh, yeah, your song, man. I appreciate that. And he goes, but no, this thing came through for me, this particular job or order that he wanted. And I said, that's interesting.
So there you have it.
There's a good coincidence for you.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. So this is called Magnet for Money. And again, I put it in a first-person perspective. So when you sing it, you get empowered and you get to sing that I'm
the universe.
A magnet for money.
Yeah, you tell the universe what your intention is. Bring it to me, brother.
So check it out. So that was Magnet for Money. You can find that on my website, www.sainttone.com. And feel free to go out there and sing it.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That was me, by the way.
Yeah, that was Janie in the background.
I'm a magnet for money.
Yes,
I love that song. It works, too. It really works. Along with a whole pile of your other songs in that Rise Up experience. It's a nice flavoring of styles of music, which brings me to want to ask you, who were your influences growing up that put you in so many different styles of music? Because you're all over the board. You're not just a one-trick pony, if you will. You're not like just the rock guy. You actually do great variety of styles. So who were your influences?
I would say early on it was the Beatles. But I'm a Doors fan, I'm a U2 fan, I'm a Sting fan, Billy Joel fan. But I like all styles of music, and the older I got, the more I really started to embrace different styles. When I first started out, I was just doing rock, and then at one point I was doing like a lot of harder rock, and then from there I slowly started getting into other styles because I kept saying, well, I can't do this, and I went, well, why can't I? And I started taking away the limitations from myself, and I think that was the coolest thing that I could do is say, I want to put, perfect example, there's a song I have called Mama Said, and I had a friend of mine named J-Rock Jones, and he was a rapper from Tampa, Florida, and I says, I want you to rap on this song, and he's like, okay. And I just let him rap on it, and I went, how cool is this? I can have a rap in the middle of one of my songs, and that's okay. And then I can go into a different style, because when you perform so much, what happens is that, you know, as far as when I was performing covers a lot, I loved all styles of covers. If I was going from Frank Sinatra to, you know, the Allman Brothers to Train to Maroon 5 to Billy Idol, I mean, you name it. And I love that variety. And I says, well, why can't I put that variety in my original material? Like, what is stopping me besides me?
Right, right.
And usually, record companies don't like you to do that.
So they're stopping everybody.
Well, what happens with record companies is they are very focused on marketing, and they want to be able to market you to one genre, one click, one...
Because it's easier.
Trick pony, because it's easier. Simple as that. That's the bottom line, is they want to get the maximum out of their promotion. So if your demographics is, you know, 13 to 17, then they're going to put you in those magazines, and that's it. They're not going to market you to anyone else.
Right, right.
So if you're on the Disney Channel, then that's it.
That's
you're in the
your
Disney
station,
Channel.
Baby.
What I like is I love the variety. And if you take a band like the Beatles or like Queen, classic rock bands, they would go all over the place as far as genres are concerned. If you listen to the White Album, my God, from the Beatles, it's all over the board. I mean, they go from acoustic songs to Helter Skelter to Number
That's
9.
That's a good point, yeah.
And they didn't put any limitations on themselves. They just let the music do what it wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I loved about them, is that they had such a wide variety. So I love doing that. And especially now for our show, the Rise Up Experience, it even calls to that even more, because with the Rise Up Experience, like the two new songs that we just put into the show that I'm recording right now are Cranky Pants, which is a song that is way out of my realm, but what I did is I had this idea for a song called What's Up With Your Cranky Pants, and I said, how cool would it be if I could write a little hook and then bring in a couple of rappers, like two different rappers, to actually do verses on this? And yesterday, you could see how well it received it was. People were dancing to it and just singing to it and just having a great time. I'm like,
and they only heard it for the first time. Yeah, I noticed that too.
But then the first time, they're singing it and just like going, what's up with your cranky pants? And I said, how cool is this to actually connect with them that quickly?
Yeah.
And then the second song I have that is brand new to the Rise Up show is called Get in Tune. And again, that comes from more of a hard rock vibe that sounds like STP meets The Doors. Totally different vibe. There was a guy yesterday who he was sitting with his girlfriend, I guess, somewhere where they couldn't necessarily see the band. They're around the corner. And his girlfriend said to the guy, wow, they must have changed bands. There's a different band on stage.
Really?
And he said, no, that's the same band. And she goes, really? That doesn't sound like the same band. And he goes, no, that's the same band. And he made that comment to us. He goes, you guys just cover the gamut of styles. And there were so many different styles that was coming out of this one band. And we love that. We love to put that kind of variety out. And especially these days, with people's attention span being so limited, I think if you can give them a variety, then you just have that
much
more.
Well, you reach that more people, that many more people.
Yeah. And I thought what was really cool yesterday is, there was everyone from, like, young little kids, you know, that were, like, 5 to 10 years old to, like, people like 65, 75, and 80 years old.
Right, right.
And they were all vibing on it. They were all getting it. They were getting the energy. They were getting the message. And to have some old ladies waving their hands going, you guys are great. And then to have little kids just dancing around in front of you, like, it's cool.
And let me comment on that, because the children actually went and grabbed hula hoops and were hula hooping to the band in front of the band on the dance floor.
Yeah.
And they were little. They were like 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
And they were digging it. And then there was a group of older people in the back that loved you to death, and you went up and talked to them, and you didn't even know that that was actually Nancy Cartwright's mother and her friends.
Yeah, I had no idea, but that's okay.
Yeah, but that just shows the wide variety and a bunch of different ethnicities. We had a whole variety of different, you know, religions, colors, creed, blah, blah, blah.
Races, yeah.
And they were all digging it.
That's another really cool thing about the music that I've been able to put out is that it transcends different
generations
and stuff.
Right.
Like when we've performed at the county jails,
mm-hmm.
I know that we were a little nervous going like, I don't know if they're going to be ready for a rock band to come in here. And I'm like, but we're not a rock band. We're a rock, pop, R&B, rap, /
you
country
name it, band.
Band, instrumental band. That's why we go over, because we put in so many different flavors
right.
that you're like, wow, these guys are bringing a lot to the table.
And that's why any type of group hires us.
Yeah.
Because we fit into anything.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
We can play in a high-end corporate gig. We can play in front of a million people on a big stage. We can play at a little county prison. We can play at Priscilla Presley's house and affect all those different types of crowds in the same way.
Yeah, and that's what I love about the power of music, and that's what I love about what I get to do is putting out the songs that I do in the different styles that I choose and not limiting myself to anything.
Two, I want to mention two other things that you've done. One is you were chosen to do President Obama's initial inaugurational ball, 2009, I think that was.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We were the only white band that played, and I'm saying that because, you know, that typically in a situation like that, you have a new black president coming in, which was an awesome, amazing event at that time in the United States, and the African-American race wanted so much to surround themselves with his inauguration that Beyonce, Jay-Z, a whole bunch of those guys volunteered free to go and do and perform for him to honor him. And I totally get and respect that whole thought pattern. When we came in and asked them if we could play and they listened to our music, the song they listened to was Mama Said We Can Always Work It Out. And they instantly gravitated to that as a theme song for President Obama's presidency and felt that they could relate to it. And it was quite an honor for us to be even allowed to play at the inauguration. And it was, we were allowed to because of the lyrics and the theme and the song of what you were singing about. Mm-hmm. That is really, really a cool thing to highlight.
All right, listen, and that particular song was the one that had
J-Rock Jones.
J-Rock Jones on there rapping with it.
Yeah.
And again, lyrically, it just worked, you know?
Yeah.
It's a song about unity and win-win situations, and we can work it out if we want to, so we can make this whole thing come together.
Yeah, and we played in between Kool and the Gang and Anita Baker.
Yeah.
And had and Keb Mo from Hawaii, which was President Obama's one of his favorite bands.
Yeah.
It was quite a pleasure, but also I wanted to bring up that outside of the box, you also, for 4 or 5 years, performed as the home band for the NFL team, the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yep. Yeah, that was really cool because we would go to every home game and we were the tailgate band.
But the tailgate band was pretty sophisticated. It wasn't like you would imagine in a field on a flatbed. This was like high-end for club members and the coaches and the teams.
Yeah.
And
that was a lot of fun doing those shows. And again, my career has been able to go into a lot of different areas. You know, I've been very flexible. And the funniest thing about what I do is I've played over 5,000 shows.
Wow.
Easily. You know, there was a 10-year run where I was doing 275 shows a year.
Which is crazy.
So when you look
That's
at,
crazy.
When you look at the amount of shows that I've done and the places that I've played and the opportunities that I've played, I've basically have almost never said no to a gig. And so I've played at weddings, I've played at funerals, I've played at bar mitzvahs, I've played everywhere and anything that you can imagine music would be at, I've played at.
Well, and another side of that is you've also written a variety of jingles for commercials. Subway, sandwiches, Domino's Pizza. I mean, that's a whole another side of you that people don't even recognize. And you've put a lot of music into movies.
Yep, movies, TV shows, MTV's picked up some songs too. And I just love writing songs. I think to me that's the thing, and I'm working on a brand new album right now, and for me, that's the thrill. For me, it's what else can I write? What else can I put out? You know, that's why I have 15 CDs. I have friends of mine that still haven't put out one CD or one album.
In 30 years.
And
they're still thinking about it.
Well, and here's the thing is you need discipline. I mean, a lot of this stuff comes to discipline. There's a lot of times where I'm going, oh, that's cool, I wrote it, but now to record it, it's like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I really got to tighten it up. It's like, okay, the band knows it, but now we still need to record it. You have to come in. You have to put the drums down. You have to put the vocal down. You have to make certain decisions. And to finish an album is a lot of work. You know, it's a lot of work. And for me, I've always worn every hat. And that's the thing that I've always pushed myself. If I can't hire someone or find someone to do what I want to do, mm-hmm. I just take it on myself. So if I want a video shot a certain way, I'll learn how to edit the video. And then I could tell somebody what I want, or I'll just do it myself because now I have a better understanding of it. I'm very hands-on.
Right, right.
I was telling someone yesterday, there's a management company that approached us, and I told them, I said, when I work with a management company, I work with them as a partnership. I don't look for them to carry me at all, and
well,
I'll sit by the pool.
And it's for two reasons, so that you can guide your career in the fashion you want it to go.
Right.
And make sure that they're representing you appropriately how you've represented yourself over the last 30 years.
Right, exactly. That's exactly
it. It's important. It's important.
It is very important. So for me, you know, my advice out there to anybody who wants to get started in the industry is to set some goals for yourself. Real simple.
And this is any industry. This isn't even just the music industry.
Right, right, in any industry. But it's like set some goals. And set small enough goals that you can at least see some accomplishments, because if you set a long-term goal without any short goals...
And it takes 5 years to see it, you're going to be long off that trail by then.
And you're going to give up.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Break it into small, bite-sized goals that you can do within a week, within 2 weeks. If you want to start a new business or if you want to learn how to play guitar, I have so many people say, man, I wish I learned how to play guitar. I'm like, well, why can't you?
Yeah.
I just never did it. I'm like, well... Why can't you now? Oh, I don't know. I'm like,
I'm too old. I've heard people say that to you like crazy.
Yeah, and it's like, well, if you really want to do it, the first thing you need to do is buy a guitar.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yep.
And they go, huh. I go, yeah, you don't have to go and buy a brand new one. And I got to say, guitars have come a long way as far as there used to be really crappy guitars. But nowadays...
You can get a cheap one that sounds awesome.
You can get a cheap one that's like $70 to $100 that really plays well, because they've really dialed in on how to make guitars now,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where the strings are really close, and you won't be learning the way I learned on strings that were so
suffering,
high.
Right.
That it was ridiculous. You would want to give up because it was just impossible to play.
Right, right.
So buy the guitar, then just take it to the next level. If you want to start a business, start doing research. How much would it cost? What would be the name of your business? You know,
whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Make your goals.
Yeah.
Attainable.
Start setting it up. And honestly, that's what my music is about. I'd like to actually put music out there that inspires people to do whatever they really want to do.
So, Tony, I'd like to play another song, so we don't get the opportunity to usually play more than one song in a show. And I'd like to play the song Burning Sun, because Burning Sun got a lot of reaction yesterday, not only from the beat, but the lyric of it. And I recognize that a lot of people were nodding their head yes to the song while we were doing it. And I felt very strongly that they were not only in full agreement with what your message was, but they were feeling it for themselves, like, yes, you know, this is exactly what needs to be and people need to recognize.
Well, the cool thing about Burning Sun is it's just taking one symbol that we all share around the world. So no matter what race, creed you're from, if you live in Iraq, Iran, China, Japan, South Africa, America, it doesn't matter. You're sharing the sun.
Right.
The sun is a symbol that we could all recognize. So
it's
if I was
song of
in
unity.
Any place around the world, I could talk about the weather.
Got
I could
it.
Talk about the sun. So.
Okay. So let's hear that song, Burning Sun.
Time.
does when he soul share a burning sun. Wake up, we can save us. Wake up, we can save us. Wake up, so we all that different. Since the beginning is risen, and that should be our mission.
Beautiful. Love that song, Tony. And hey, you know, it's been a really special day for us to get to focus on you because we just haven't done that in the last year of being on the station. And I think that it's noteworthy what you're doing out there. You're changing and literally saving lives of people through mental thought patterns. And I applaud you for that. And I recommend everybody to check out Mr. Tony St. Tone, not only on our station every week on humanitarianradio.com and also on Humanitarian Radio Facebook, but check out sainttone.com, S-A-I-N-T-T-O-N-E.com, and check out the schedule on that page to see where he's touring and what's going on in the world of his new album coming out and all that fun stuff. If you know somebody who's got a great story to tell, please let us know. We like to share good news for your soul, and we applaud and appreciate everything people do out there for their fellow humanitarian. That's our show. Thank you, Tony.
All right. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.